You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Big leagues, you guys. Oh my goodness. I am so excited. I'm here in DC today. I just moved here a couple days ago. I'm not sure when this episode will air, but it's just a new scenery and I'm looking at a fresh face, somebody who I've never gotten to meet before. You guys, you hear me say we love a black owned business. And today I'm speaking to a badass black entrepreneur. Please help me welcome the founder of The Main Hookup, Jade Phillips.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be on the show. And yeah, and well, hi to all of the listeners that you usually hear.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good. It's like super dark outside where I am, guys, because the clocks have changed. So
in London. You're in London. So you said right before we joined this call that it's like 4 p.m. over there?
Yep, it's 4. It's 4 in the afternoon and it's already dark.
Oh my God.
It's winter time.
I feel like for me, 5 p.m., like that is a really early time for it to be dark, but I can't imagine 4 p.m.
Yeah, it's that time of year. We're officially in winter.
Shoot, man. Oh gosh. Well, I still want to go out to London and visit because I love it there. And you guys speak English. I love Paris, but I'm like, voulez-vous? I don't know how to say.
No, London is amazing. I'm born and bred here, so I've been here my whole life. And genuinely, I think it's one of the best places to be. So anyone that has a chance to visit, I know restrictions and all at the moment, but when that starts to calm down, I definitely recommend it.
Right on. Oh, I love that. And I also love how you're wearing your hair today. For those who can't see, can you describe it?
I have just kinky twists in at the moment. I actually got this hair from the States because I couldn't find it anywhere in the UK.
Really?
So it's like a particular brand of expressions hair. And it's just, it's really light. It's really, really soft. I do loads of running. So when I have my hair in braids and twists, I always try and choose something that's quite light. Otherwise it gets really irritating when you've been like doing your runs every day for a few weeks. And it's like, oh, this feels heavy now.
Your runs, like literally jogging.
Yeah, literally. I do track and field. So when I'm not working, I'm running. So when I'm choosing a hairstyle, it just has to be super practical in a sense that I want it to protect my hair, but I also don't want it to be super heavy or get in the way because it can be a problem. I've seen people do like way, way more creative stuff than me. And I'm like, I don't know how you do that and run. But
right.
I like just having a really simple style. So for me, twists are really, really easy. They also don't take too long. I mean, it's like probably about 4 hours to sit down and have this done because they're also not too long either. They're just past like my shoulders.
So you always get it done?
Yeah, always. I went back to my natural hair about 4 years ago. That's kind of how I started building Main Hookup really. But I went back to my natural hair 4 years ago and I just usually keep it in some kind of protective style. So whether it's braids or twists, it just means that it's easy for me to manage and to keep tucked away so that when I'm training, it's not difficult for me to handle. If I have super long braids or twists, that can just be a pain when you're doing a running session.
Right. And not practical for what you're doing. So yeah. I read when I was like researching you and everything that you went natural or started transitioning in 2018. Is that right?
Yeah, or just before then. And I think I just kind of had enough of of relaxing my hair. I just got really tired of it. And I was like, yeah, actually, I'd just rather go back to my natural hair. And it was a process. It was like learning how to look after my hair all over again, because you don't treat your hair the same way when it's relaxed versus when it's natural. I've got like really, really thick, like really dense, curly, 4C hair. So it was like literally, oh, how do I manage this? How do I learn how to look after my hair from beginning to end? And then it was also like, how do I find somebody that can help me through this process?
Right. So, and that's the thing. So I'm like, I get excited because I transitioned in, I say transition. Oh yeah. I mean, I went natural full time in 2018 too. So I'm like, I know, I understand. like, let's do this. And I'm still learning about this freaking thing on my head and how to rock it and like all of the things. But that first like decision, I didn't have relaxed hair, but I pressed my hair. I would straighten that and I would go over it again and again if it wasn't straight enough. And then I hid my hair for so long under wigs because I didn't like it wasn't because I loved wigs. It was because I didn't like my hair. So, and I feel like there's a difference there, you know? But that transition of being so used to seeing a straighter look, going from that to how your hair actually grows out of your head or going to more natural textures can be so frustrating. I was frustrated. How did you feel?
It was a mixture. There was part of me that was like, oh, this is just so refreshing, not having to like constantly go back to the hairdressers every like 5 weeks to get my roots redone. I was like, this is great because I can just put it in braids or twists or some kind of style and then leave it alone. So there was that kind of, oh, I can get up and go in the morning. That made me feel super productive. There was one less thing to do. But it was also kind of learning how to see myself with my hair again, because you get so used to seeing yourself with straight hair and that becomes your norm when actually it isn't your norm. And so, and also when you're at the very beginning, because I had really, really short hair. I'd relaxed my hair and it was like shoulder length. And then I got sick of that and I kind of cut it off. So it was like boy short. So I literally started with a teeny tiny afro. And so it was like learning how to deal with that and be like, okay, I can't really style this right now because it's short. And I waited for the straight ends to fall out. I didn't cut my hair off. I just waited. I was like, I'm going to wait for it to grow out. And then like the last few straggly bits, I cut those off like way, way, way further down the line. But it was just learning how to see my face again in a kind of a different light. With a different set of hair and being like, oh, this is actually what my hair looks like. This is what I need to learn to love. And it was really interesting because I loved seeing natural hair on other people. But I didn't really know how I felt about my hair at the beginning. I was like, I'm not sure how this looks on me. Like, does it? And it's weird. You're like, does it suit me? And like, but actually that's your hair.
It's your like, hair.
That's what you've been given. So it does suit you. You're just not used to seeing it because you've been straightening your hair or you've been covering up with other things for so long. So it was a process. I think I struggled with routine at the beginning. So it was like, it was the frustration for me was learning how to look after my hair again. That was the frustration because it's like, who do I learn from? Like, what information is trustworthy? There are so many people that have so many different ideas of what you should and shouldn't do with your hair. And that really varies depending on the texture, depending like people's things like porosity and density, which is something that people don't really talk about. People talk about curl patterns, but that's like very two-dimensional when you just look at that when it comes to your hair. So I felt really lost at the beginning, to be fair. There was so much information and it was like understanding what to filter and what to use. And that's what I think can be quite tricky at the moment. We're in, we live in a day and age where we can consume so much information on a daily
basis.
So much information. It's like, okay, cool. What's right for me? That might have worked for X, Y, and Z person, but that doesn't necessarily mean it will work for me and for my hair.
Were you ever tempted once you transitioned to get a relaxer again?
No. Funnily enough, that I've never, I went to my natural hair and I was like, no, I'm done.
What?
I'm done.
Wait, I'm this is not... inspiring. Please tell me more. Even today, I'm like, man, I sure could go for a blowout. You were never tempted. You were like, I am done.
Yeah, I was like, I'm done. I'm done with like having to go back. And also there's just certain things that I didn't enjoy about getting my hair relaxed. I did not enjoy the feeling of when my scalp got burnt. Hate it. And there's nothing you can do because it's not your stylist's fault. She's not like, sometimes it's not even negligence. It's just your scalp might be more sensitive one month than another. One month it's like, okay, I left this on your head for 10 minutes last month. It's been 5 minutes and now your scalp is burning. And it's just things like that that were really unpredictable and really uncomfortable. I found that my hair actually broke more regularly when it was relaxed. Since I've gone back to my natural hair, I don't really get that much breakage or even that much shedding.
Right. And
I enjoy wash day. I know that's not really normal. Most people hate it, but I actually enjoy
you,
washing
it. What?
I like it, despite the fact it takes a day, like a whole day. I enjoy going through that process of actually looking after my hair. So doing that was kind of therapeutic in a way. And I was like, okay, cool, I can do this. So once I found my routine, it was finding the routine that took a lot of time and just listening. I found it really useful to listen to the advice of people who had hair that was a similar texture to mine from what I could see. So if I was going to look at somebody's YouTube video, I'd be like, it looks like her hair's kind of similar to mine. I read around, I spoke to people who know much, much more than me. So spoke to a couple of people who are trichologists or have been hairstylists for a few years and just took some product recommendations and ran with it.
Did you ever, like, when I was looking at videos of people who I thought looked like me, did you ever run into this problem, which is I would look up videos of people whose curls I wanted, not of the actual texture that I had. And I would get so frustrated because I'm like, it don't look the same. Yeah, because you ain't got those curls, Alish.
It's not the same. And that's the thing. It's like you have to also accept. And also not just accept, but also love what you have. So there's loads of things within the community. Like there's lots of discrimination, not just against Afro-textured hair in the way that it's described and looked at. Like it's often looked at as a problem. And I think a lot of the time we've internalized that. So, you know, it's described as being difficult or it's stubborn or it takes too long. Like all of these things that we hear on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And that's what we naturally think when we think of our hair. Whereas actually it's just different. It isn't difficult. You just have to learn. Once you've learned, it's actually quite easy because you know what works for your hair. What does and doesn't work. So it's like going through that process to re-educate ourselves to be like, okay, this is what I have and it is wonderful in its own way, and you've just got to figure out what does and doesn't work for you. But I do think that it's so easy to fall into that trap of, oh, this person has amazing hair, I appreciate the way their hair looks, so I'm just going to listen to what they have to say. And it's like, you know what, they've got like 3B hair, you've got like 4C hair.
It's very different. It's not gonna work. You know, when I was looking at your website, themainhookup.com, I saw that you had a little blurb on there like saying Viola Davis and Gabrielle Union saying that there has been a problem trying to get Afro hairstyles on TV. And you know, I have thought about this, but I didn't realize that there was an actual conversation about it. Like, what do you think? What's that all about?
I think the problem kind of stems from when people are trained to become hairstylists. So I don't know what it's like in the States, but in the UK, up until about a year ago, it wasn't mandatory for anybody that was taught about, you know, hairdressing to learn about Afro hair. That was not a mandatory part of the course. So it was like, you know, people could go and get additional training. But so if you think about all the people who are going through that system who are learning to become hairdressers, if they aren't taught how to manage it, by the time they get to a point that they're in a television studio or, you know, they're on set for a theater or a play, it's too late because they should have known before they got there. So if they're then in front of cast members or TV crew or people who've been invited to interviews, and they're just like, I actually don't know what I'm doing with this texture of hair. They should have been taught before they even got to that stage. But there's also, there's some onus in terms of education, and then there's also the industry itself that hasn't put, you know, like people or black people, black women, black men, they haven't prioritized them. So when they're thinking about who they're hiring on set, they don't think, oh, this person might need somebody who has specialist knowledge about how to manage their hair. And that just puts people in a problem. So I can't remember who it was, but there was an actress that said that, yeah, I bring my own hairstylist, I bring my own makeup artist, because guaranteed when I go on set, there's not going to be somebody who knows how to manage my hair and somebody that in terms of makeup knows how to work with my skin tone. So I just bring those people with me to reduce headaches so that I don't get stressed out. And I just don't really like, that's not acceptable. If somebody's been asked to an interview or they've been asked to do a job, it's the job of the people who have organized that to make sure that everybody has what they need. So if they don't have a stylist or they don't have a makeup artist or whatever it is that they need, you know, they shouldn't have to source that themselves. Their work is to turn up and do their job and either act or to be interviewed or whatever else it is. So yeah, I think that's been a problem for a while. And it's just not been spoken about enough, or even that, I think it's been spoken about, but it's just not been prioritized and been, nobody's tried to fix that problem.
I think now is the time, like, the more we can see it on screen, on stage, to me, it's like, oh gosh, I feel two different ways about this. When I see it on screen, when I see it, when I go to see a Broadway play, I feel so inspired. Like, okay, my sis is up there rocking it. Maybe I can rock mine too. And now, like, I'm in a show right now, and they're like, Salisha, would you like us to make a wig that replicates your actual texture? And I'm like, is it beautiful? Are you sure? So like the answer is yes. Like now it's my responsibility to freaking like take that torch and run with it so other people can be like, she's doing it.
Yeah.
But it's harder on this side because I'm still getting my confidence, Jade. I'm like, oh my goodness.
But that takes time, and a lot of that is, like I said, it's unpicking all of the things that we've been taught, right?
Right,
so
right.
The reason that it takes so long for us to, for lots of people to love their hair, is because we've been taught all of these really negative things about our hair. Like I said, that it's difficult, that it takes too long, that, you know, that people don't really know what they're doing, and it's like, actually the hair isn't the problem. People, unfortunately,
are the problem. It's not the hair. Say that one more. We're laughing, but say that again.
The hair is not the problem. People are the problem. Because the reality is that we've had Afro hair is not new. It didn't start growing out of people's scalps 2 minutes ago. It's been here for a very long time. And it's down to us as people to prioritize, A, learning how to manage our hair properly, finding the right people to manage our hair. And for those who employ us when we're in positions where we need a stylist, it's down to the employer to then say, I'm going to make sure I hire somebody that can cater to Afro hair as well as European hair. Because right now, European hair, European textured hair is the one that's prioritized all day, every day.
Right. Oh my goodness. You are speaking so much truth. Our hair is not the problem. It's people that's the problem. We look how we look. God was like, I didn't make any mistakes.
No.
How long we gotta wait till you guys figure this out? Like, this is y'all are different for a reason, and it's the bomb. There's not one that's better than the other. Like, it's just, wow, a matter of prioritizing who, wow, Jade.
We're gonna cut for a short ad break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
You know what I love about you? And talking about all these things and talking about your journey and your and how you've transitioned and everything, I sense, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I sense a lot of joy in your process, which I find actually, I find that unique, because a lot of times in transitioning, there can be pain there or shame or embarrassment. And listening to you, you're like, oh, wow, that never went back. Yeah, I love it. This is great. I keep my hair short like this. It only took me 4 hours. It works for my lifestyle. It's cool, right? Like, there's so much joy in it. And it feels, to me, it's like a reminder that we can go through this life and we can make things hard or we can make things easy.
Yeah,
things don't 100%. All have to be, not everything has to be hard.
No, but it's also like, just accept the process. I do feel that some of this lack of joy comes from this obsession with length. Like, I wasn't so fixated. I want my hair to get to a certain length, don't get me wrong, because it's just easier to style and you can have like more diversity of different styles when your hair reaches a certain length. So that's kind of my reasoning. But a lot of people are just like, I want my hair to be long. And so until they get to the point that their hair is that long, they're not happy. And I'm like, I'm just happy with the process. My hair is healthy. It's not shedding. It's not breaking. Well, it does shed, but like it sheds to a normal amount. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have any breakage. I don't have any difficulty with my hair. Like, it's actually growing really, really healthily. And so when the focus becomes health, you can be happy pretty quickly. You can be happy with the process because that's quite easy to see. Well, whereas if you're fixated on length, it's going to take a very long time. Our hair grows, what, maybe half an inch a month on average. The average person's hair grows about half an inch every month. So that's, what, 6 inches a year. If you're aiming for your hair to be past your boobs, then you're going to have to wait about 5 years to be happy. Wow. And it's like, do you want to wait that long, or do you just want to be happy with the fact that it's growing and it's healthy with where it is? And if you're looking for length, great, learn how to manage your hair so that you can maintain and retain length. But up until that point, why not just be happy with the progress and where you're at?
Oh, I love it. I just love it. Tell me about the main hookup.
Yeah. So like I said, that kind of came off the back of going through this journey of transitioning. So I was like, okay, cool. I want to find a hairstylist that I can work with that really understands how to manage natural Afro hair. And I was just like, this is kind of ridiculous that the only way I can find a hairstylist is by word of mouth. I can ask my aunties, I can ask my friends.
Come on, aunties.
I can speak to people, but I can't just go online and find somewhere where I can book appointments with these people. You know, you go on the likes of, I don't know if you guys have Treatwell in the States, but Treatwell or Booksy, and basically beauty booking platforms where you have people like, you know, people who run hair salons and nail bars and all that kind of stuff. And you can find loads of hairdressers, but very few who manage Afro hair. And I'm like, that's kind of ridiculous that there isn't a platform that really helps people with all textures of hair to find a hairdresser that's suitable for them. I work in marketing and like digital product development. So I have that kind of half technical background, half creative. Right. And I just thought, instead of waiting for somebody to create a solution, I would create one myself. There are a couple of options available in the UK. There are a couple of brands doing something similar, but just not in the way that I would like it to be delivered. That's more me thinking with my technical brain, like, oh, I think these features would be really helpful and that kind of thing. But But I just wanted to make a solution to what I could see was an ongoing problem. And I also saw my family struggle. So a lot of my family moved from London to a town in, actually, you know what? My geography is really bad. So I'm just going to say my town in England. I was about to try and guess where it was, so I'm not going to do that. But a lot of my mum's side of the family moved to a town called Bath, and it's a lovely little city. It's quite small. They wanted to be somewhere that wasn't as busy or as hectic as London, but they went there and they were like, oh crap, we don't know where the hairstylists are, because it's, you know, it's a small city in comparison to London. And if you're not from there, then you wouldn't necessarily know. And so for the best part of a few years, they kept coming back to London to get their hair done. So that's like a 2-hour coach journey, 2 hours in a car. So by the time you paid for a coach ticket or topped up petrol and driven here, they're spending as much on their travel as they are on getting their hair done. And I literally watched them do that for years until they found a woman that's like half an hour away from where they live. And I'm like, that woman has always been there. Wow. You just didn't know she was there. So why isn't there something that's helping you to find these people?
Wow.
So it was a kind of combination of my own experience and also watching my family go through that. And it was always quite literally always the women in my family that went through that. Because when my cousin, he's like 3-4 years older than me, he also moved to Bath. He found a barber's. Found someone pretty quick. I'm not sure if it's the same experience for men, if that's also a difficulty, but I see with women in particular, it was a problem.
This is UK-based, London-based. Yep. When are you going to get it out here in on the East Coast, at least selfishly? I'm like, I'm here on the East Coast. Like, can you make this for America too? Like,
in all honesty, like, the idea is for it to be global. So I'm starting on the side of the pond that I know.
I love it.
That's where I'm starting. I'm starting on the side of the pond that I know and I'm familiar with. But the idea is definitely to branch out to the States, especially because there are more people who are experiencing this problem here in the States, than there would be in the UK, just because there are more people. So the more people I can help, the better. And that's the main thing, is that I want to not just help customers, but this is also here to help stylists manage their business and run their business really effectively, because of all the tools that we offer. We have like booking tools and things that they can do to help manage their business really effectively. So for me, there's two halves of this. There is helping customers not have that experience of not knowing where to go, regardless of where they are in the world. So wherever you are in the world, whether you're on holiday or whether you've just moved to somewhere new or whether you've lived somewhere for 20 years, you should be able to know who the local people are that know how to manage your hair and book an appointment with them. So I always want to solve that problem. But I also want to support predominantly Black businesses that in my eye, I don't understand how Black women can spend so much more. Apparently they tend to spend 5 to 6 times more on their hair and beauty than women of any other race. So I'm like, how is all that money in this industry, but it doesn't seem to be getting to these stylists? Or at least it doesn't seem to be, that money doesn't seem to be effectively getting to them. Like, why isn't there a chain of Black hair salons globally? Like, we see chains of European hairdressers across the UK. I'm sure you have them in the States as well, but we just don't really have that for the Black hair industry. So I'm like, why isn't that happening, and what can we do to help that? And it ultimately starts with helping people to run their business in a way that helps them to make money really effectively. So we just charge a monthly subscription fee. I do not plan on taking commission, which a lot of other platforms do, because I think that ultimately defeats the purpose. You're not going to help people to make more money if you're always taking a cut of their appointment. So that's the end goal, is for it to be a global platform that really serves the community. That's what I want it to do. It will definitely come to the States without a shadow of a doubt. It will.
We'll
conquer England first.
England! You better build your empire, Jade. It sounds amazing. How can people follow you, find you, support you, all of the things?
Everybody can take a look at the platform. So like I said, most of the stylists are either in the UK, or I've got a couple in Europe at the moment. So mainhookup.com is where you can go to find us, like online, Instagram, Twitter. It's at Main Hookup. And yeah, in most social platforms, those are the two that we're the most active on. Everywhere else, you just search our name and you'll find us. Me personally, anybody wants to drop me a line, I'm on LinkedIn and you can just Google, like search me and find me, Jade Phillips. I'm happy to speak to people, whether they be people who are running their own businesses, because, you know, we've all got to stick together and help each other, or people who are just curious and want to know more. So yeah, I'm always happy to speak to people.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been so great, like, getting to hear your opinions and your thoughts on things. You're awesome, Jade.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And yeah, like I said, guys, we'll be coming for America soon, so don't worry.
Oh, thank you. Until next time.
And that wraps another episode of Black Hair in the Big League. Y'all, I'm so honored to have such great guests on this show. And if there's somebody who you want to listen to, please drop me a note on my Instagram at Salisha Thomas or at Black Hair Podcast and slip into those DMs and let me know what you want to hear, who you want to hear from. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast, rate it, leave a review, tell a friend, follow us on Patreon at Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Y'all, I am so grateful that you are part of this community. It would not be the same without you. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD. Shout out to Colin Tabor for editing this episode and most of these episodes. And shout out to you for listening. Y'all, my heart is so big and I feel so grateful. Thank you for listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. See you next week.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.